The thing about God is that he is the most amazingly loving God. But, well, there's another side to him, just as there is with any loving father. There's another side, and it's a side that we try not to think about too much. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome again to the program as we take another look at your eternity from a different perspective. When you're a kid, there's nothing worse than getting into trouble. And it's one thing to have your mother going crook at you, but here are some words that will send a shiver down every child's spine. Wait till your father gets home. Do you remember that? My mother used it on me more than once, and that wait till your father gets home is the most mortifying sentence that I remember. Because when it comes to a father's discipline and punishment for wrongs, well, it can be tough. Fathers have this strength and intensity, and they can be fearsome. Now, I don't remember my dad as being fearsome. I don't remember that as the main thing about him. But there are two sides to being a father, as I've discovered. There's the side of loving your children and caring for them and providing for them. And there's the side of disciplining them, and at times that involves punishing them so that they'll learn from their mistakes and experience justice firsthand. It's the tough love side. Now, I've sometimes heard God presented only as a loving God, and he is. His love is awesome. But just like any dad, there are two sides to fatherhood. And the side that we don't like to talk about is the side of God's justice. But unless we do, unless we have a handle on the ultimate judgment and punishment that we can avoid by believing in Jesus, then grace just doesn't have any value. God is love is one of those scriptures we love to remember, and he is. There's a verse about God's love that I truly delight in, and here it is, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this one, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor present things nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God loves us. He creates us. But then we turn our backs on him, and that turning away from God, which is what sin is, brings punishment. Because God is a just God. And we wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, imagine if God wasn't just. Imagine if God was a despot. I mean, pretty scary thing, wouldn't it? This short verse from the Old Testament book of Hosea sums it all up for me. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. But as for you, return to your God, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for God. See, God is both love and justice. Not just love without justice, and not just justice without love. And it's precisely because God is both love and justice that he had to send Jesus to die on the cross, because this is the only place where the requirements of both love and justice can be met. If God were just love without justice, well, who needs the cross? Who needs Jesus? Just forgive us. There's no punishment. There's no reckoning. But imagine how we would feel if our legal system did that with a criminal. The criminal deserves punishment. That sense of justice we have comes from God. We are, after all, made in his image. But if God were just justice without love, well, then it's simple too. Who needs Jesus? Just punish us, God. And as Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. So it's easy fixed. But because he's both love and justice, he sends his son to take my punishment, take your punishment, so that we could be as clean and as pure and as forgiven as the God who loves us wants us to be. Notice what Jesus said, three verses, John chapter 3, verses 16, 17 and 18. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. verse 18. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So let's unpack that for a minute. Verse 16 says, look, God loves us so much, he sent us his Son so that we wouldn't die, perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 says, look, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to wave his finger at us. He came to save us. But save us from what? Well, that's what we find out in verse 18. God's condemnation. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe him are condemned already. See how love and justice require Jesus to die for you and me on the cross, because God is a God of love and of justice. Let me share very clearly with you, should there be any doubt, that one day God will judge and punish all of those who haven't believed in Jesus Christ, his Son. Tomorrow, we're going to look at exactly what that means, to believe in Jesus, because there's so much more in that than most of us think. But that's tomorrow on the program. Right now, let's be clear. As much as God is the God of love, and he's made provision through Jesus Christ for each one of us to be saved from his judgment and condemnation, he is also the God of justice. And justice demands that if we don't avail ourselves of his love provision, his complete forgiveness in Jesus, then we must bear the punishment. Listen to these three passages. Firstly, again, John chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. And finally, Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man, that's Jesus, whom he has appointed. My friend, it couldn't be any clearer. Unless we entrust our lives to Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, unless we live our lives believing that we are truly forgiven through his death and resurrection, then there is an eternal punishment and an eternal separation from God and an eternal hell coming. Let that be very, very, very clear. Jesus told a parable about this very thing. And in that parable, God is the king. And this is what happens to people who don't accept this invitation to place their trust and live their lives in Jesus. Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you, here and now, right here where you're standing, sitting, walking or running, if you died tonight, would you be ready for eternity? Would you stand before God completely forgiven with the gift of eternal life because you not only believed in Jesus, but put your life into his hands? Or would you be like those people in the parable who didn't accept the invitation or who didn't live the life that the king called them to? Would you be cast into the outer darkness for all eternity? In a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray a prayer with me, a prayer that gives your life over to God, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you've done. If you know in your heart of hearts that you're not ready for eternity, or if somehow you're not sure, I implore you, pray this prayer with me. Let's pray together. Father God, I've heard your word today and I know that I'm not ready. And so today, Lord, I want to tell you that I accept Jesus into my life. I believe that he died for me, and by trusting in him, I have complete forgiveness and eternal life. Father God, I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong, and I turn away from all of them right now. But I know I can't do that on my own. So I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Everything I am, everything I have, every hope and every dream I give to you. Show me now, Lord, how to live this new life, this eternal life that you've given me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you've prayed that prayer with me, then you have the gift of eternal life. But it doesn't end there. It's just the beginning. God wants you to live your life for him through Jesus. And that's what we'll be talking about together on tomorrow's program. In the meantime, if you'd like to listen to this message again, stop by online at ChristianityWorks.com and click on the A Different Perspective icon at the bottom of the homepage. I'm Bernie Diamond. It's been great to have this short time together. And hey, let's see if we can't do it again same time tomorrow as we take another look at your life from a different perspective.